thanks for hanging out. Still sticking around, buckled up and ready to go. We've got a lot coming up, but first, you got to make sure you check us out on The Valley Outdoors. And where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
I said that.
You did?
Yeah.
And Facebook?
That would be good.
That would be the other one.
See, Ava?
I was ready.
I caught
him. You should have called on me.
I know, but
so
I caught him, didn't I?
He was
sleeping at the wheel.
Yeah, I was.
Check us out. Both places have got some good stuff. I just did post up there the other day. Nice mess of sunfish. What's your favorite fish? And what's your favorite fish to eat? Jump on there. Give us a heads up. And maybe we'll come up with a story that highlights what is or can be the best way to catch those fish. I was out the other day, Don, bobber fishing. And I'm telling you what, I got some awesome bluegills. And I'm talking, there's a photo on Facebook, The Valley Outdoors Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty nice pic. And that was fun. It was fun. From shore.
Really?
Yeah. That's how I roll. I don't need a boat. I could do.
So your spots are limited?
Not really.
No?
A lot of shoreline. A lot of active fish along the whole shore. Oh, probably 300 yards worth.
Okay.
And they're all, the whole area is effective right now.
How big?
You can barely get your hands around it.
You have a measuring tool? Your hands are small.
My hands are not small, Don. 10, probably ten, about 10, 10 inches.
11, yeah.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, I didn't even bother keeping anything small, just threw them back. But what a blast. Little mm-hmm. wax worm, little tiny green jig.
Bobber?
Oh,
yeah.
The reason is that if you look at the amount of weeds that are growing, you get it out and then you slowly bring it back in.
Right.
To pull through pockets or next to pockets, and you find that effective spot. And usually they're going to be, you know, close to a tuft. What you can't tell is exactly what is going on below, but you'd keep adjusting that bobber stop. So use a slip bobber on it. It works way better. And believe it or not, I was going without a sinker, just like a 32nd ounce jig. Sometimes it wouldn't necessarily pull the line through the slip bobber. So what you need to make sure is when you get, and this is an important piece over the years I've learned, a quality bobber will make a huge difference when it's a slip bobber. So you need to have the thill bobber with the brass insert. That will allow that line to slide through. If you have a plastic, the less expensive plastic, it will not allow that line to slide through unless you have a relatively heavier sinker to it. So it makes a difference. And the reason is, when you have a light bite, the bobber will be laying down. If it's windy, the bobber lays down, it's less affected. But what happens is you can see immediately when that bobber's laying down, instead of a pencil bobber standing up, you'll see that bobber start to move just a little bit, and it'll start to target where it's moving. So it'll pull that base of the bobber, the pencil part, right in the direction. So as soon as you see it change direction, then you know you got something going, you can get ready. And it really, it's nice because you can, almost every one of them, you hook it right on the outside of the, in the outer portion of the inside of the mouth, and instead of all the way down the gullet. And that was fantastic. I mean, it doesn't get better. Talk about tasty. Oh, nothing better than a meal of sunfish.
You threw them all back?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Good.
I threw those smaller ones back.
Gotcha.
Yep. So it was funny. Every time there's a couple that would go by a walking path, and every time they walk by, he had another one on. He's like, well, that's two. I said, no, that's six. I'm like, no way. Let me see. So... That was kind of cool, and yeah, it's enjoyable. I love that.
Next day, there were 40 people sitting there.
No, I keep my smile on my face and don't say anything to anybody else. That's the way it works.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't tell you where it was. Where'd you catch them? Right in the roof of the mouth.
Yeah,
that's where I caught them. That's how that works.
Yeah, well, that works both ways, you know.
Yeah, it does. I've told you where to go. You know where I'm fishing.
I probably do.
Yeah, you do. No, you do. I told you. Yep. It's kind of like, what jig is my favorite jig in the river? I've told you once, and it's the same thing I do in a seminar. I tell people once, when we're talking about jiggy, the most effective jig, no matter where you go, you can possibly have, I tell everybody once, and then I don't say it again, and then you can go back, and you have to think, what was that jig that he said was the most effective jig he's ever used?
How do you remember who you told and who you didn't?
Doesn't matter. I just have to assume. And then I'm good.
You never told me.
I did, too. So speaking of sunfish, we're looking at a scenario coming out of the Minnesota DNR. They're seeking input on special regulation proposals, and that's for several different fishing species, fish species. Each year, they review the existing fish regulations, and they propose new special regs that apply to individual waters and ask for the public for input about those proposals. The all-new regs are reviewed on a regular basis to evaluate how effective they are. The DNR, Minnesota DNR, I need to make sure that they understand this is the Minnesota DNR. They're proposing either new regulations or changes to existing experimental and special fishing regulations for the 2027 season. So they are just a couple lakes here, eight or whatever. Cedar Lake near Annandale, that's going to be a sunfish change. Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area Mine Pits up in Crow Wing, that's for northern pike. German Lake, Otter Tail, that's sunfish. Hovde Lake, Cass County, that's sunfish. Mink and Summers Lake, sunfish, walleye, and minnows, that's in Wright County. Namekin Reservoir Lakes, St. Louis County, that's for walleye. That'll be interesting to see.
What are they regulating?
They're looking at changing the regulations for walleye.
Oh, okay.
In Namekin. We've never been there before, have we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, maybe once.
Or twice, or three times.
Exactly. North 10 Mile and South 10 Mile Lakes in Otter Tail County for sunfish. Pine Lake, Cass County, Northern Pike. Pleasant Lake in Stearns County for sunfish. And Rush Lake in Otter Tail County for sunfish. And all of these are going to be available for comment. They have been posted to lake access points as well. So you can come onto it digital, fill out an online questionnaire through September 30th of this year. And they can comment directly by email, U.S. mail, or phone about each one of those. So don't be afraid if you can't do the email or the online thing. Contact information for each of those is available at the fishery office webpage for your given fishery area. And public meetings will be held in September to discuss the proposals, and they accept comments there as well. Details will be posted on the meetings in and by August 15th.
And your input matters.
You know what? It really does, I have to say, because there's some proposals that were not good. There's some that were really good. One of them has been on the river here. We never thought we'd ever be able to get some slots put in that both sides of the river in Red Wing would be able to comply because we're border water. And our fishing league group, there's about 30 of us, got together and some guys went out and they pushed along the river various different sportsmen's groups and got the interest of those folks and had petition, and Wisconsin had the same thing. We were realizing there's far too many big fish being pulled and it was not good for the resource, and the DNR agreed, and we have the slot that we do now, and it is definitely creating a trophy fishery as well as a great location to get eaters at the same time. So it really worked quite well. So pretty cool stuff.
It's a success story.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of cool, I have to admit. I highlighted this story at the top of the show. Ron Shera is a friend of the show. I've known him for many, many years. Great guy. Truly is. I've been able to spend time in the field with him. I've been able to spend time in the boat with him. I've hunted behind Raven, the whole deal. Very, very fortunate, and filmed a couple TV shows with him. So very fortunate in that side of the fence. Ron is a very strong proponent of the fisheries in the state of Minnesota. He got the funding through MinFish. So a little plug for MinFish. If you're wanting to support the fishing across the state and help direct the funds and help improve the fisheries, MinFish is the place to go. They're a great advocacy group, and they pushed to get the funding to go help the hatcheries
around the state
and update those launch ramps for access, etc. So when I saw this particular title of the article, I did a double take. I think you did as well when I mentioned it to you before the show. And I think he did it more food for thought is what I think kind of came across. This is the title. How about dock owners pay for use over public water? A fishing trip is supposed to be a relaxing experience. Biting fish or not, however, casting largemouth bass the other day on Minnesota's Lake Minnetonka was, well, a grumpy outing. Okay, so bass weren't really jumping in the boat, but that wasn't the cause of the grumpiness. The grumpy mood on Tonka began to increase when a fish from Bay to Bay began realizing the amount of public fishing water that we couldn't fish. What does he mean by that? For the moment, let's talk about using public land rather than public water. A DNR wildlife management area is open to the public, right? But wait, let's say I live next to the public hunting area, but I'd like more convenient way to enjoy the prairie. So I install a long wooden walkway over the prairie and post no trespassing signs. Soon, my neighbors want to have the same convenience, so they build more walkways, install more stay-off signs, and soon the areas and acres of public prairie are no longer accessible to the public. Key hunting spots are now unreachable, blocked by the walkways, extend for hundreds of yards into this state-run land. Get the picture? What do you think, Don?
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So, who would be so bold as to install wooden posts and walkways on public property they don't own? Well, maybe that's not so crazy. Instead of public land being occupied, what if it's a public lake instead of walkways? It's public water being occupied by long docks, huge boat lifts, swimming floats, irrigation pumps, and that becomes not crazy. The extent of private docks taking over the public lake seems to be a problem, only getting worse. You fished Tonka the other day, the amount of shoreline covered by private docks, including long line of docks and lifts extending into the lake, was jaw-dropping. No doubt some of the boats docked are being rented, so the dock owner installs a dock over the public water and then collects rent on the dock sitting over the water, or he or she does not own. There was a time, I suspect, when the amount of private docks circling public water wasn't much of a nuisance or an imposition. However, time and the increase of lakeshore residents, along with an increase in huge floating rafts, stay-out swim buoys, and other efforts to control public water, might mean something has to change. If you're enjoying a lake home or other area that you enjoy on the water itself, it obviously it's a strong tradition in Minnesota.
Yep.
You know?
Well, it probably is everywhere.
Presence of private boat dock, it's part of that ritual. No problem. He owns a small floating dock in a public river. It's a small section, and it can't be fished because of the docks. Why am I bitching, Ron says. Here's why. If Minnetonka is an example, it seems that the lake shorelines become increasingly crowded with private docks. They squeeze the fishing space, rightfully belonging to the public. Is there a solution? Here's the question. What if dock space on public water needed to be rented? If you want a dock on public water, you must pay a fee based on the size of the dock. Therefore, rent money stays with the lake, meaning the money is used, the DNR, lake associations, whatever, for improvements in the lake, the fish management, boat access repairs, or improvements. In other words, the public lake gets improvements for renting a portion of its lake surface. What's wrong with the idea? I know if the many docks on, let's say, Minnetonka paid a rental fee, those docks would still cover the shorelines where I might like to fish, but I'll feel better knowing the dock owners aren't usurping my public fishing water free. Commentary time, Donald.
It'll be interesting to hear the conversation that goes along with this concept.
Well, let's start it.
Well, I've seen that happen on lakes where people think they own from the shoreline to the end of their dock, mm-hmm. which is not true.
Right.
I mean, it is a public water, so there's no argument, or shouldn't be any argument, for someone who wants to fish in that area close to shore. I think where the homeowners probably have issues is, you know, that time to time a spinnerbait gets tangled up on the end of the dock or mm-hmm. on the dock somehow, or cooked on the dock.
So let's take a step back for a second. We talked about it. Ava, you're going to be part of this now too, so you don't get free clearance on this
one. Okay.
So if you look at the comparison, you're looking at a prairie, and you're looking at putting a dock out in the prairie. What can't you do?
You can't build anything on it.
Exactly right. So that's a little different, right? So
has been for hundreds of years.
Or now this is where it becomes a little the interesting concept. We talk about a prairie, and you can't put anything into public land that's permanent, right? You can't drill poles into public lands. That's open, that's not, you can't do anything with it. So you couldn't actually put a dock into that area because that is, it's not your property, right?
Right.
So that would not be possible. Now, the point you just brought up is the reason I'm saying this.
Well, if, keep in mind, there's, I mean, there's a lot of other factors that go into is where does my property line for a lakeshore owner? And actually, it's where the water line is, right?
Exactly.
So if you have high water, you now have less land.
Okay.
But or contrary, if the lake recedes, yeah. Sometimes it might
Devil's
be
Lake,
dry.
Prime example, Don.
Yep.
If anybody's been to Devil's Lake, you know that people lost lots of their property, and they're trying to figure out, well, how does that work? Does the state buy my land back from me? Because I now have no homestead. I have nothing. My farm is gone. Everything's gone because of their inability to manage the lake. Now, here's the reason I bring this up. If it's the case that in public land, I cannot punch holes into the public land and have a dock.
Which is the case.
Now, you don't own the water. You don't own the water, and you own it right up to the edge of the water, correct?
To the water line.
Yeah. So if you're going to take a dock and put it out in the water, and you're punching holes into the ground for your dock.
Well, a lot of them are portable or floating.
But I'm saying, if you look at Minnetonka,
you're occupying space.
There's a ton of them that are permanent in the water.
Oh, are there?
They're big posts and, right?
Okay.
Even then, you're encroaching on public water.
You are.
So now is the predicament, it's in reverse. It's not so much, yeah, you can't do that to public land because it's land and it's open for anybody's use. You're infringing on it. But now to look at the other side of this point, you cannot, I would say, push into public land because you don't own the water. You don't own the water and the ground underneath the water. That's the food for thought. And what I want to do is I'm thinking we get Ron on and we'll have a little conversation about this and see exactly what concepts are. I like that thought.
Well, it'd be interesting. I don't know who he's proposing this to.
I think it's more food for thought. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think the conversation.
But the conversation would be fun.
It's an interesting conversation.
It would be fun. It would be fun. Speaking of fun, I hope everybody has an absolutely fantastic weekend. Don't do stupid stuff. Enjoy the outdoors. And thank you for joining us, as always. For Don, Ava, myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Happy 4th of July. Happy 250th America. And have a blast out there. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.